Amen. You may all be seated. Hallelujah. So, as I said, the youth have really been working diligently on making sure that what their message was sent forth. And when they said it to me, I was just, I was in awe. We were at the house and we had our first youth practice. And they said, well, we need a theme. That was before they said, what song we going to sing? They just said, we need a theme because we want to say something. And I said, well, what is your theme? And they said, we want to represent every nationality and every culture. And I said, okay, because they said we could do that, but it's only one God. Amen. So today as a title, we're going to say different cultures and nationalities, but only one God. Amen. Different cultures and nationalities, but only one God. Amen. Before I go any farther, I want to ask the youth to come forth. And I know you're busy, Malik. And I want them to each come up and tell you who they're representing. Because, see, when we think of the word culture, your culture is dictated by where you live or how you're brought up, I should say. That's your culture. It's how you're brought up. But your nationality is from where you're from. Like you're Middle Eastern, you're Asian, you're whatever. You know what I mean? That's your nationality. That don't have anything to do with your culture. Your culture, you could be right here in Texas and have a different culture. It has nothing to do where you're at. So I want them to all come up. Come on up, y'all. And I want you to let them know who or what culture and nationality you're representing.
I am Hawaiian. I got the Hawaiian fiddle.
All right.
I am Islam. Mm-hmm. Muslim, yeah.
Islamic. Should be Islamic.
Hawaii.
All right.
Okay. I'm Nigerian. What? I'm Japanese.
All right. Thank you. So as you see, they come from all across. And that is, but they still represent who? God. Because there is only one God. Your nationality doesn't determine anything. It doesn't stop God from loving you. Your culture doesn't make God not love you. We all have different cultures. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different upbringings. And yes, we are full of different nationalities. In this church alone, I can't even count how many different nationalities that we have. But guess what we all have in common? We know that there is only one God. One God. Amen. Get your word and turn with me to Revelations. We're going to go to Revelations 5. And I'm going to be reading a while in there because I'm going to go down to verse 10. But before we go there, I want you all to take a minute. And I'm going to let you all see a different culture or nationality that realizes that there's only one God. Malik, can you play that song for me, please? I'll be reading from the NLT.
Revelation 5.
Revelations 5. Revelation 5 and 1. I'm on a mic. Revelation 5 and 1. I'm going to go ahead and begin to read. Amen. Are we all there? Even in this very moment, God is still showing who he is. Amen. Revelation 5, not Shuns, 5:1. And again, I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 1 says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll, open and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Y'all know who that is? Y'all know who that is? Y'all better tell me who that is. Who's worthy?
Jesus
is worthy. Amen. Jesus is worthy. I began to weep bitterly because no one was found. You don't have to do that. You see that? Four said that. But we don't have to do that, because why? We have a Savior. Amen. I think I left off at 6. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the 4 living beings among the 24 elders. He looked as if it had been slaughtered. I always get emotional when Jesus pops up in my head, and I know what he went through for me, for us all. I don't mean to be selfish. Amen. But it says that he looked slaughtered, but he was still standing there in between. So guess what? Just as Jesus was beat and nailed to the cross, he still stood there for us all. Amen. So guess what? He's alive and well today, baby. He is still standing alive and well through the beating, through the slaughter, through the nailing of the hands, through the piercing of the side, through the cursing, through the lying, through the spitting on, through the beating of him down. He is still standing strong today for us all. For us all. Amen. For us all. Amen, amen, amen. Let me see, I left off at 6. I stopped in the middle of 6. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of 6. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the 4 living beings and among the 24 elders. He had 11 horns and 7 eyes, which represented the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. Before I go to 7, I'm going to stop right there on 6. Because another thing that God continuously drops in my spirit is, when you're speaking to God's people, you need to make sure that they understand. Because right now, when I say to you that he had 7 eyes and 7 horns, you're thinking it may be somebody that's demonic, somebody that is not of God. But notice it said that it represented the 7 spirits that God has sent out. Where? Amongst the earth, amongst us all. So in order for me to let you know what those are, let's go to Isaiah. We're going to go to 11. Isaiah 11 and 2. Because there's 7 spirits that are here with us on the earth. And that's what that represented. Can I get an amen when we're all there? I don't want nobody left behind. Any holdups? Isaiah 11 and 2. Those seven items that we just said, the seven eyes, the seven horns, it represented the seven spirits that God has sent upon the earth. Correct? We just read that, right? So Isaiah 11 and 2 says, and the spirits of the Lord will rest on him. Spirit of the who? Lord. The spirit of the Lord, right? Will rest. And the spirit of what? Wisdom. And what? Understanding. And the spirits of what? Counsel. And what? Might. And the spirits of what? Knowledge. And the spirits of fear of the Lord, which is reverencing the Lord. Amen. Reverence of the Lord. Amen. Those are your spirits. The spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel, spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of reverencing the Lord. Spirit of reverence. Amen? So we good? We understand. What did those seven things represent? The spirits of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're going back to Revelations. I hope you kept your finger there. I'm telling y'all, y'all kept y'all finger. I took mine out because I walked away. Amen. We were in Revelation 5. And I stopped at 7. I will begin at 7. Amen. Revelation 5 and 7. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. That means Jesus took the scroll from the right hand of his Father. Correct? We good? We got that from God himself. Amen. He sits at the right hand. Amen. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That means they worshiped him. As we said, one of the spirit of the Lord is what? Reverence. So then that way they reverence. Amen. Each one had a harp and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. That means your prayers are heard. Your prayers are heard. Amen. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God. For every tribe and language and people and nation. Let me read that again. For every tribe and language and people and nation. And have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. And they will reign where? On earth. Amen. He has ransomed. His blood ransomed for God's people. For who? Every tribe. Every language. Everybody, every people, and every nation. Was it just for Pastor Jackson? Was it just for Africans? Was it just for Caucasians? Was it just for Asians? Was it just for Hispanics? No, he said every nation. Was it just for the German? No, it wasn't. Every nation. Malik, can you go ahead and play that song for us right now?
you stand up. Hindu, I see it. Catholic, and I see you. We're all God's children. Yeah, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. Why can't we be one big happy family? You like the day, and I like the night. She's in the country, and he isn't quite. There's folks on the left and the far right, but that doesn't mean that we have to fight. We're all God's children. All God's children. Yeah, we're all God's children. Why can't we be one big happy family? Yellow folks, black and tan, on the same planet, in the same land. A feminist woman and a he man, we're all playing the master's hand.
We're all God's children. Yeah, we're all God's children. Oh, we're all God's children. Why can't we be?
We're all God's children. We're all God's children. As you heard in his song, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the texture of your hair. It doesn't matter what type of clothing you wear, how much swag you have, or how much swag you don't have. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, African, yellow, brown, orange, blue. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you Baptist or if you're Christian. It doesn't matter if you Asian, black, Pacific Islander, or white. The only thing that matters is you know that there is one God, one Savior, and salvation for all. That's the only thing that matters. One God, one Savior, salvation for all. Amen. 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 That's it. It's only one. It says that we're all God's children. All. All. It don't matter. The biggest thing that I find in this world today, as you know, the word tells us we may be in this world, but we're not of this world, correct? That's what God's word says. But as Christians, we get so caught up in what's going on in the world that we forget that very scripture. We forget the meaning of that very scripture. I will use for an example, our latest president, past latest president. Amen. Past tense. He's no longer the president of the United States. Mr. Trump. He's no longer. As Christians, regardless of anything that he did, no matter how it looked in your eyes, guess what you were supposed to do? Pray for him. Love him. When they went and they stormed the Capitol, and then the news, you know, the news puts out the bad stuff first. They could have started off the segment with someone gave their life to save another's life, or gave their heart, or someone died and gave their heart to save another's life. But we don't remember that part. That was the beginning of the segment. You don't remember that. That happened at 10 o'clock when the news first came on. But at 10, after 10, here come everything else. Storm in the Capitol. Oh, they was a white supremacist group. But guess what? That's all we remember. Immediately, the world went into an uproar. Immediately, the world, did you hear that word? The world went into an uproar. Oh, they wrong. Oh, they shouldn't do this. Oh, they didn't. Immediately, us as Christians, we should have started praying. Yes, we should have started praying. Yes, it might have bothered your flesh, but because we know what God has commanded us, we should have started praying. That's first. It says, first seek ye the kingdom of God. Not after you get finished being mad and cussing them out because what they've done. Not after you call your sisters and your brothers. Did you watch the news? You better turn to Channel 5. Not after that. Pray first. First. Reverence him first. We just learned the spirit. Reverence him first. But we get so caught up in what's going on in the world that we forget that who we are. And who we are is much greater than what's in this world. Because we are children of God. Y'all just heard the song, we are God's children. Now whether we choose to act like we are his children or not, that's on us. That's individually. He also gives us free will. We have to choose to do the things that he has commanded us to do. Who can tell me what the commandment that we're living under right now? To love. That's it. That's it. To love. We're going to go to scripture because Miss Daisy was the only one to say it. Oh, I didn't pick him. Okay. Romans. Let's go to Romans. I'm getting there, y'all. Romans 3. We're going to start at 27, okay? Romans 3, 27. Again, I'm reading NLT. Can I get an amen when we are all there? Any hold up? All right? Romans 3, 27 reads, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, it is God, the God of Jews only? No. Is God the God of Jews only? No. Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Yes. Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jew or Gentile. Let's go back and read that again. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jew or Gentile. Well, then if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? No, of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Only when we have faith did we truly fulfill the law. What is the law commandment for us right now? Love. Because we, as Christ has loved us, because we are under grace. Hallelujah. We are under grace. When Jesus came, he took all of that extra stuff and washed it away. He took it and put it all on his shoulders, carried it away with him. We don't have to worry with that no more. He says, I've given my life for you because I love you so much. I love you so much. And I ask that you just love the same way that I love you. Regardless of their nationality, regardless of their color, regardless of their culture. I ask that you just love as I have loved you. Amen. That's all. That is it. See, sometimes we get so caught up. I done walked away. Sometimes we get so caught up with the word love that we forget the true meaning of it. Or we might not know. Correct, sir. Know the true meaning of it. To love is unconditional. It's regardless of what a person does. It's irregardless of what a person looks like. It doesn't matter. Love. Now we get caught up in our own stinking thinking. And we think, oh, because God told me to love them, I got to be around them every single day, and I got to do this for them, and I got to wake up with them, and I got to go to bed with them, and I got to call them, and I got to do this. No, you do not. But if your brother and your sister reach out to you and they're in need, your love for them, in spite of what they've done to you in the past, should enable you to extend that hand to them. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. That kind of love. I'll be honest with you, and I know you all feel the same way. There's some family members that you love them, but you love them from a distance. Because if it's not, it messes with your whole being. And I have learned in my walk with Christ, not no one or nothing on this earth is worth my peace. And if you disturb my peace, I'm going to have to put you in a different sector of the world. It cannot be on the same couch in the living room with me. No. I need my peace. Amen? So he has said for us to what? Love. That we love. Through faith can we truly fulfill this commandment. Through faith. Through faith. Y'all know what? Through faith. I can't say that enough. Through faith. Because you got to have faith. You have to know who God is. Believe in him. Know his word. And stand firm on his word. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be tossed to and fro. You have to stand firm. Your faith has to be your biggest asset. That's your strength. You have to. Because guess what? You still got to love people. You still got to love people when they get on your nerve. When they get on your last nerve, you still got to love them. You do. When people treat you wrong, you still got to love them. When people misuse you, you still have to love them. When people discriminate against you because of the color of your skin, because the clothes that you wear, because you live on the wrong side of town, because you live on this side of town, guess what? You still have to love them. Through the turmoil of this world, in the state that it is in today, we still have to love. We have to love. Regardless. Regardless. As we say, it doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your culture. It don't matter if you what side of the tracks you live on. What they said in that movie in 8 Mile. When Eminem lived on the wrong side of the track. And they talked about him, but it didn't matter. It should not matter. All that matters is we love. Because that love comes from God. And there is only one God. Regardless. As Christians, for some reason, we find that so hard to do. And I know I'm going to step on some toes, but guess what? It's time for us to know. It is time for us to know that we have to love in spite of. In spite of. Let me tell y'all what love is. I looked it up. And you know when you look up words on Google, because everything on Google isn't real. It isn't real. But when you look up the word, it gives you all of these definitions for it. And it says, you know, to be in of endearment, because you can say, give her my love. Or it can be of a it's a fleshful nature or between two people to be in love with one another, right? It says that. But then when I was going down, there was another definition, and it says love is a unselfish, loyal, and unselfless act concerned for the good of others. It's an unselfish and loyal and unselfless act with concern for the good of another. Immediately, that made me think of God's love, that agape love, the fatherly concern and the fatherly love that God had for humankind, for mankind. The ones that we are to have for our brothers and sisters. The ones that we are to have for the ones that are not our brothers and sisters. The ones that you walk up on and you see in the store randomly every single day. And at first glance, you look at them and be like, what the world is wrong with them? As they say in one part of the world, Louisiana, who's she for? Because that's exactly how you look at who she for. But in our flesh, we get so quick to make comments like that and judge. Because it's different than what we're used to seeing. Because they dress different. Because they got piercings all over their face. Because they got tattoos all over their face. And you're looking at them like, what? Won't even speak to them. I just had a conversation with some of my staff members, and I was going over customer service with them. And I told them, I said, I know you're wearing a mask, but I need for you to smile. And one of the ladies said, how do you know if I'm smiling or if I'm not smiling? I said, you can smile with your eyes. You can smile with your eyes. But guess what? This world has given us situation, the world, has given us these masks that we have to wear right now. But as Christians, we can still smile with our eyes. And yes, you may be covered up, but God didn't tell you to shut up. Your mouth may be covered up, but you don't have to shut up. We can still speak and be bold for Christ. We have to, as Christians, get this world back under control. They're not going to do it on their own because there's so many that are lost. They don't know who Christ is. But as Christians, we know who he is. We know the power that we have. We know the authority that he has given us. We know that if we speak it and truly believe it, that comes into pass. It comes to flourishing right here. We know these things. So how many of us are speaking it and believing it truly that this pandemic is over? Amen. Is it over? Yes. Do you declare that it is over in the name of Jesus? Amen. Because see, if you was in Bible study, we just learned that whatever you speak in the name of Jesus, it shall happen. It will be done. Amen. So how many of us are doing it? Note, I said and believe it. Because see, if you're saying it, but you don't believe it, you're not going nowhere. You're just making noise. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to happen. You got to believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. It says by what? Faith. Faith. Could we only by faith are we truly going to fulfill the commandment that it was left for us? Only by faith. Only How many of us are speaking? So I spoke about the pandemic, but let me get a little bit more personal with you, because I want you all to really realize that the world is in the condition that it is in when it comes to separating people by their nationalities, not even being, how can I say it, not even having enough knowledge and understanding that would know that there is no such thing as different races amongst us on this earth. We're all of human race. So when people say race, I've got to the point now when I walk in my life with Christ that I just say, you mean nationality? Because you didn't really mean race. And I had someone argue with me one time, and they was like, well, no, they're a different race. I said, no, that's a dog, right? They said, yeah, well, yeah, that's a dog. Is that a dog? Yeah. Well, is that a dog? Yeah. Well, that one brown, but that one was white, and that one is gray, but they all still dogs, right? Now, what kind of dog is it? Was that a German Shepherd? Oh, that was a Chihuahua. Oh, that was a Husky. Right? That was a Labrador. That was a Bugle. But guess what? They're still dogs. So guess what? We're all human. Right? We're able one race. And as Christians, we got to know, we got to stand up and stop being afraid to say that. We have to stand up for what we know is right, because we're standing too far back, don't want to be heard, don't want to be seen, when God's word says go boldly before the throne. You can't go boldly and let this world keep doing this craziness, and then we just sit back. We're just going to wait. When they get it together, then we can start praising God. When they get it together. No, you get it together. You get it together. Because change starts with each and every individually one of us. We have to start the change. I can't expect for her to do anything if I'm not doing it. You got to do it first. There is one race. And God made it. It's the human race. There's one God. So when someone says to you, I don't like those people. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. We like everybody. We love everybody. Change. Might not like you, but I love you. We love everybody. Regardless. I'm American. I'm a black American. Miss Daisy is a Puerto Rican American. First Lady has some German descent. She's still American. But regardless of that, guess what? We all first. Human. We're all God's children. Regardless. I don't care if you're black. What the song said? Black, white, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. I know that's a song because I remember that part. It is. It's a song. It say that. It is. They say that little part in there. But I'm using it for right now. It doesn't matter what you are. The salvation that was given to us is for all. Amen. The grace that we're living upon is for all. The love that was given is for all. The love that is being given is for all. The blood that was shed was for all. We have to know it was for all. And as Christians, we got to stand up and say that. We got to say it. We get so caught up in our cliques, and you think you're not in a clique, but you are. You in one. You want a bandana? I'll go get you one. You want a red, blue, yellow, white, black, whatever. We have to get to where there's only one. We don't need a bandana to represent us. Baby, we got Jesus. That's my representation. What else is there? What is there greater? What is there greater? Nothing. So again, there is what? It may be different cultures. It may be different nationalities. But there is what? One God. One God. There is only one God. One. So guess what? We got to start loving in spite of. Because we are Christians. Who in here is a Christian? Amen. Are we Christians?
Amen.
To be a Christian means what? We are what? Christ-like. We follow Christ, right?
Yes.
So as Christians, we have to love in spite of all these different religions. We have to love in spite of all the different cults. We have to love in spite of all the different denominations. It doesn't matter. We've said that we are Christians. So Christians have to love Baptists. You got to love Catholics. You have to love Protestants. You have to love the Lutheran. You have to love the Seventh-day Evangelist. We have to love them because that's the thing that sets us apart. Whereas they're a denomination and they're doing things, believe it or not, off of culture. We have to still love them. Because remember, we said there are different cultures. So they don't know. This is what they was brought up in. This is what they're accustomed to. Because that's what your culture does. It tells you things that you're accustomed to. That's what they're taught because it's within their culture. They got to be able to step out from under their culture and realize there's one God. It don't matter their nationality. It don't matter where they came from. They have to be willing to step out of the box. And know that there is still only one God. If you're in a culture or your nationality makes you think less than or you're more than someone else because of their nationality or their culture, it's not right. It's not right. It don't matter what it is. There's only one God. It's only one. This world is so corrupt right now that it just made me plain old sick. But every day I know and I wake up and I say, God, I'm going to love like you love in spite of. I'm going to love like you love. I don't care what someone looks at me and says. I don't care if they roll their eyes at me. I don't care if they make a derogatory remark at me. I'm still going to love like you love. Now, I'm not telling you to allow people to mistreat you face to face and you not do anything. That's not what I mean. But I'm saying when you walk away from that situation, you still got to love them. You still have to love them. Yes, defend yourself, but still love. Because when you love somebody and you forgive them, it's for you. It's not for them. You're the one that's being held back. You got to let go some things. And until we let go of those things, it's only we're going to realize that we're loving the way that God intended for us to love. There's going to be some things that's going to hurt your feelings. There's going to be some people that's going to hurt your feelings. But you still got to love. I'm not saying get up on the couch on a Lifetime Movie Network channel, under the blanket, love. I'm saying with the love of God. Love with the love of God. So again, I say it's time for us Christians, in spite of religion, cults, denominations, we still got to love like Christ loves. And the only way that we're going to be able to show this world that they may come from different cultures or different nationalities, but there is only one God, is if we stand up. We have to stand up as Christians. We have to know that we are in this world, but not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. I live here, yes. You live here, Pastor?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here too, sir. But you love. Regardless, in spite of, we have to love. So Christians, I charge you. I challenge you. Stand up. All over the world, everyone here, as well as over the airways, I charge you. Amen. To stand up for Christ, to show that you are a Christian. And it's time for us to take back this world. It doesn't matter your culture, your nationality, there is only one God. And as Christians, we are to let the world know that there is one God and we love them regardless. Amen? So stand up. Right now, Christians, we got to stand up. Not in a literal sense. I see a few of you all. I mean, stand up for God. Yeah, it's easy to stand up on your 2 feet. But it's, you got to stand up for God. In spite of. Amen. I turn this over to Pastor, as the deacons and ministers come forward.